member of WildGamesProductions.com and D20Radio.com.
As you turn the corner ahead, you see a narrow stone span over a pulsing stream of molten rock.
Dude, I totally got this. I move out to cross the bridge.
Halfway across, toxic fumes begin to make your head spin. You will have to make your save to continue on, or you will topple over into the lava. And through the shimmering heat, you think you see some short humanoids leveling crossbows at you from cover on the far bank. You are hit twice and feel a burning fire begin to spread from the wounds. Save or die!
Save or Die Podcast, Adventure number 46. Sitting in is DM Vince alongside DM Glenn.
If that's what you want to call it, sure.
Sure. DM Mike.
Taco.
Taco. And DM Liz.
You're not taping this, are you?
Yes, we are.
Damn.
We can re-arc you guys right out of here.
That's right. And Chris, oh, I would say Crispy, but he didn't show up today, so.
Oh, he's been nuts. Re-arced. Yeah, he's been pre-arced.
He's been pre-arced. So, all right, well, we're back after a long break. I'll blame it on Glenn. Yeah, that's it. It's all his fault.
Yeah, every time certainly I talk, not I, our fault.
No. I had hiccups, what can I say?
So let's talk to the two that haven't been on the air, because Glenn and I have been on the air in our other respective podcasts. Start with Mikey.
He likes it.
Mike?
Oh, don't even start on the life commercials. Now you're really dating yourself, as if the show doesn't date you enough.
Really?
Well, been slogging through with student essays. And
slogging?
Well, yeah, when a student tells me that the Enlightenment period was of European and early American history was when everybody started paying attention to the Buddha.
That was for Enlightenment period.
At least you didn't say that's when people started putting in light bulbs or something.
Well, only a matter of time, I'm sure.
It's when the light bulb was invented.
But I finished reading the Mazes and Monsters novel.
How was it?
Yay!
Better than the movie, but that's almost a given. And
anything's better than the movie.
It actually really wasn't that seriously anti-gamer until the last chapter or two.
Really?
I mean, you know, it was dealing with the guy who goes over the edge, you know, Pardew, right. The holy man guy. But she built a lot of backstory there so that you got the distinct impression that gaming had really nothing to do with his nutjobness. It was just the venue that he found to express it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
kind of a fugue state or something?
Yeah, and then kind of the last couple of chapters, then suddenly, it's evil, we're quitting it, da-da-da-da-da. Which kind of makes me think, I wonder if she was told by her publisher to maybe,
no,
this isn't her anti-gaming enough, put more anti-gaming in it.
No, that was her Enlightenment period.
Something. But anyway, doing that, still reading old Dragon magazines. But cool. That's pretty much it.
And Liz?
Mostly doing a lot of schoolwork this semester and barely keeping up with my two graphic design courses. Lots and lots of web work on that one.
Mm.
And not enough time to do it in.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what I'm doing gaming-wise, which is probably what people are wanting to know, not just tons, other than our weekly 2E session that we go to, but ooh. I've done very little as far as basic stuff in quite some time, which I kind of miss.
Yeah, when Thorky was talking about running a game again, I was like, all right, Holmes, but it's 1E, so oh well.
Not that there's anything wrong with 1E, but
no, but
I miss me my Holmes.
That's right.
Yeah, Thorky's running that thing because of the whole campaign world that we're all creating on OSR Gaming right now.
Ah.
Yep. That's one of his test modules.
Mm.
One of these days we'll be able to play in it.
Yeah, Thursday. We didn't play last time. We didn't play last time because Professor Mike wasn't in town.
Yeah, he had to go to the Texas Community College Teacher Association convention down in Frisco.
I thought you guys were ditching me.
And it's just as exciting as it sounds, let me tell you.
And we were ditching Glenn.
Yeah. Glenn, don't worry about it. Just go to the top of the building and the door will not lock behind you.
San Francisco's a nice place.
Not San Francisco, Glenn.
Well, I said Frisco.
It's Frisco.
usually people who say Frisco don't know about San Francisco, so I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. Hey, all right, there's a Frisco, Texas.
There is a Frisco, Texas. It's about 45 minutes from here.
I should not be surprised.
One of the dozens of small communities that Dallas has eaten over the past century.
Well, Frisco's not that small of a community. It's pretty big.
Well, small compared to Dallas.
Well, yeah.
I'm not surprised one of my brother-in-laws came from a town in Oklahoma called Earth.
Yeah?
It's like every time they go, oh, we're going to go see our relatives. We're going to Earth. Sounds like they're going underground or something.
Nothing beats Toad Suck, Arkansas, though.
Let's not get into that now.
And I am not making that up.
I know. Sounds like Captain Planet should be there on the Earth, Oklahoma.
Yes.
Or it's a Tunnels and Trolls module.
They're not born there, they're planted.
Quickly, someone from Osric now is writing up a module to copyright it.
Copyright, Earth copyright.
Yeah. So, Glenn, what have you been up to since, other than Zacko's Hammer?
Oh, the same old stuff. No gaming. Put the basic thing on hold for a while. Gearing up for the North Texas RPG Con. Wahoo.
Wahoo.
Actually got a paid gig for doing voices for some software textbook company. See how that pans out, and that's probably going to be my convention money right there.
Oh boy.
And hanging out, and I got some goodies from Half Price, still at a reasonable price. I got a player's option combat and tactics for 2E, and I also managed to get a Dungeoner survival guide and a Wilderness survival guide, and they were all $8 a piece, so they're not all gone up yet.
Nice.
Yeah. They some guy was clearing out his 1E stuff, and
more than half price though.
Mm-hmm.
What, $8?
Yeah,
for
the DSG and the WSG were, I think, like around 10 or 12 when they came out.
Yep.
Yeah, true. But then again, with the reprints, I expected everything to go through the roof.
Most of them have already.
Yeah.
Well, they're not reprinting the survival guides, but
it seems like all the 1E books have just jumped up in price big time.
But I saw a player's one E player's handbook on there, and this isn't even the original print. This is the reprint with the new cover on it.
Yeah,
that went from like $8 when I picked mine up, and that one there was like $14.99.
Yeah, the DM's guide were about $20 when I saw them there.
Yeah, so they're getting the word.
But the Dungeon Survival Guide, the Wilderness Survival Guide, excuse me.
Yeah.
The most unused book on my shelf are those two books. I don't think the spine was ever cracked on those.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I don't like those options.
We've never really used ours either. We have them, but yeah, they almost never get opened up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like I told Brian the other night, and I said, you know, it's not exactly the books you sit down for a good spate of reading. They're reference books. Mm-hmm. With stuff that you may or may not use.
Just like a rule encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We just don't use it because we use it as a doorstop. Or to hold the couch up. We keep the couch even with it.
Well, okay. Well, you keep your housekeeping, I'll keep mine. Okay. I actually use mine.
Glenn keeps his in his jeans.
He does.
You don't want to know.
Oh, boy. So, let's go to me.
Yeah, let's go to Vince,
yes, what
please.
Have you been doing?
Please.
Other than just keep RFI rolling along with its record-breaking download month last month. We far surpassed any month so far.
Subtle, isn't he?
Yeah. What? We had a lot of downloads. Leave me alone. I'm very proud.
Folks, you know, in Wild Games Productions, we ride on RFI's coattails, both the shows. You know that.
Yes, Thacko's Hammer is the redheaded stepchild, and Save or Die is just the little brother.
The hanger-on.
The little brother that follows the big brother around wants to be like him.
So I call upon all Save or Die people, download the crap out of this show. We can beat RFI! I know we can do it! Go, Save or Die!
Yes. And please, download more Thaco's Hammer, otherwise we're going to stick you in a game with both Corey and Full-On Gamer.
Like, Corey's fun to play with.
No, I mean, they're going to co-DM.
Why? Corey's fun to play with.
Yeah, but you're not going to survive.
I don't care about that.
If Full-On has anything to say about it.
Yeah, he seems like he wants to kill everyone all the time.
Fireballs, lightning bolts.
Which is, of course, the advantage to classic D&D, because you get killed, you could just whip up another character in 5-10 minutes, and you're good to go.
Or you can erase the name and put the son of.
Yes.
If your DM lets you do that.
Yeah.
Daughter of, bride of, uncle of, whatever. Yes.
I've been doing an actual play podcast Saturday nights, Legend of Fin Fang Foom, which Glenn's involved in.
I've
been dragooned into it.
Yeah. Dragooned into it.
Hey, it's a new word I learned, okay?
As I'm looking over to the actual play podcast window here on Skype, people are counting down the hours to playing, which is...
I know, they get on there, they don't shut up. I browse along, I leave it open, and guys, come on.
I saw some one guy wrote like 46 hours till the game, I'm like, oh jeez.
You're that popular.
I'm not that great of a DM. I'm only somewhat good.
And also, it's Oriental Adventures. How often do people get to play that? Hmm. So,
especially with a copyrighted Marvel character.
Yeah, I'm gonna have fun with those stereotypes. Let me tell you.
I actually from Half Price, I forgot to tell you, Glenn. I picked up a couple Ravenloft modules. I think RM1 or RA1 and RA3.
Yeah.
Both were under $10. They were pretty good. Good condition.
Good. I've been wanting to get the Van Richten's, not the guides, but the rule encyclopedia, not rule encyclopedia, you know how they did the Encyclopedia Magic and stuff? They put all the Van Richten stuff in leather bound books and that kind of thing. I've been keeping my eye out for those. Are handy for any genre, any system.
I was at the one the other day in Plano, and they had the Guide to the Walking Dead for Van Richten's Guide to the Walking Dead.
Nice.
Not to be confused with the popular AMC TV show, but,
Yeah, you should get that. Get your zombie on.
Nah. It's second edition. I don't want to touch it. Might ruin my hands or something.
I'll give you a second thought about that Encyclopedia of Magic at that boy, but I won't go into that.
Anyway, so that's what we've been up to. What have you been up to, folks? No, I'm kidding.
You sound like our show.
We can't hear you.
Yeah, we can't hear you. Yeah. Right?
Speak up.
No one's answering me back.
Save or Die Podcast at gmail.com.
Yes, and we actually have a rating here, a recent rating on SodTunes. Yeah, iTunes. We're calling it SodTunes now.
Yes. I like that.
We've got our own podcatcher now. It's SodTunes.
Does it work, Mike, or is it like yours that doesn't work half the time?
Oh, it works with everything but RFI.
It's a plot.
Jason cursed you. I don't know.
It even works with Thaco's Hammer.
Right? Wow.
This one's from Melf's Acid.
Ah, yes.
You must know him, Glenn, because he refers to your show. I love the podcast. I've been playing D&D since 1987. Ooh. When I was 6 years old and haven't stopped since, I found Thaco's Hammer podcast, and it opened up a whole new world for me into the RPG podcasts. I then found you, referencing Save or Die, and RFI, and I'm now hooked, addicted, junkie for all these shows, waiting on the edge for the next one. If you are new to the game, these guys help answer so many questions, even for a level 17 GM. I highly recommend this podcast. It's a natural 20.
And cool. We've corrupted another one. Good.
Thank you, Melf.
Thank you, Melf, and keep Blackleaf alive.
You too can just go to iTunes and Google on iTunes. All right, let's start this show all over again, okay? You too can go to iTunes and punch in the search box the Save or Die podcast and give us a 5-star rating with a review. And don't confuse us with the Save or Die radio, or whatever that is. That's some rip-off thing or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, D20 Radio got a new podcast.
Oh, yeah, what do they have?
The Bloodied Bard.
The Bloodied Bard?
Yeah. It's all about it's all about a guy who talks about it's basically the focus is not any one RPG, but basically world building and NPCs and all that kind of stuff. They're focusing on the world building aspect of the whole hobby.
Oh, let's hope that goes well, because I've seen a bunch of podcasts like that.
Really?
Yeah, I hope it goes well for them then.
Yeah. Best of luck.
Hey, one more thing I wanted to ask, Vince.
What?
Did you start Darker Days up again?
No, Darker Days Radio has been going ongoing since I left it.
Okay, I heard you were involved some way in that again.
No, I only went on the show once for their, they had a 2-year anniversary, and I went on it.
Okay.
So they dug you up, as it were.
They dug me up, yes.
Brought him out of torpor just so he could be on the show.
That's right. I just, if you watch my Twitter or something, I'll just promote the shows, throw them out for people can listen to them.
Had him for the show, then immediately staked him and buried him again.
Yeah, I got out. They talk too much about the new stuff, and I don't really like the new stuff. So, I mean, if it anything to do with the old stuff, I'm there, but the new world, and I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. Shall we go on?
I know this D20 Radio also has another new podcast also called Real Gamers. I'm not sure what that's about yet. I just see there's a welcome here in the forums. If you go to d20radio.com/forums, we have a Save or Die forum there, which is not really used that often, but we try to do it.
Got one for all three of the shows.
Yeah. It's actually, yeah. I noticed yours was full on gamers, mostly updating yours.
Yeah. Yeah, you put up 36 yesterday, I noticed, so I had Brian say, hey, it's up, do your thing.
Well, yeah, it was Friday, so I felt it was time to put it back on.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Thaco's Hammer, it seems to attract trolls for some reason.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I don't know why, we've had two of them so far, and we'd had to shut them down, and it's like, what is it, why do we get all the jerks? what is it about our show? Anyway, I digress.
Yes, you digress.
Game on?
Yeah, let's head into game on.
Okay.
Yay! Okay! Game on! Game on! Game on!
So, game on this week. We have an interesting topic to talk about. We're going to take a look at the Beckme Companion book this week as one of the things that we're going to talk about: rules for running a Dominion, mass combat, maybe some planar travel, and talk about some class variations that kick in at 9th level, like Paladins, Clerics, Knights, Avengers, something like that.
Yeah.
You use this book at all, guys? I'll start with Glenn. Have you used the Companion book at all?
I use the information from it.
That's what I mean, yes.
From another book that I will not mention. I mean, well, frankly, yeah, I've read it, okay? I've read the information, but frankly, I've never got characters up high enough to have a Dominion.
Well,
or anything like that. But I think it's great. I think the stuff is very, very, I mean, it's very usable.
I don't know there's going to be people that will, starting at 9th level, start doing the whole, let's do a Realm of Kingdoms and start fighting against each other. Unless you're part of my former group that just wanted to take over the world and destroy everything in its path, but, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, the taking on a Dominion takes different forms depending on what the class is, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, was it halflings? They get up to, like, that level, and all of a sudden they can be, like, sheriff of an area or something.
Yeah, the Shire or something like that.
The Shire or something like that. A wizard, you know, he goes for the tower or that kind of thing.
The Tower of Power.
Yeah. You have all these horns blaring out of it. Man, what's the noise? But sure sounds good, man.
Oh, yeah. Mikey.
Oh, yeah.
Professor Mike, what do you think about the Companion? It's a good Companion.
I've used aspects of it, though mostly as a DM for NPC dominions and that sort of thing. It's unfortunately not often that players really want to go and do the Dominion thing. More often than not, they just retire the character.
Or just keep playing.
My experience, more often than not, people retire. When I was a teenager, you know, back at high school and everything, we had 25, 35, 45 level characters, but for the most part, after I got out of high school, most people get into the teens and then they retire their character, you know.
Back in my day.
that's one thing I liked about BX is I think, you know, level 14 is pretty much where most people were stopping anyway.
Yeah. Mm.
And if the MP and if their character did quote unquote do a Dominion, it was always done as aspects of its his retirement. You know, it wasn't really played per se.
Okay, I get a keep. I rule over this Dominion. I'm out of here.
Mm. I want to start a new character.
We mostly did it at those levels. If we did it, it was you get a keep. You get you have your stuff, and it was just like you run off adventuring anyway, and you leave some guy in charge for you.
It was your hideout.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Well, I think the theory was you'd find enough adventure in your own domain.
That was the original idea, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be spending your time clearing the wilderness.
Clearing the wilderness or dealing with plots and plans. And I mean, you didn't have to get all Machiavellian, but I mean, you know, oh my God, we got the trolls invading on this side. I got to go take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
I liked the concept.
Liz, what?
No, go ahead, Mike.
No, well, I like the combat. The concept of the mass battle system, the war machine.
And this is where they got it from.
But I never liked it. It was just a little too math heavy, and I made a modified system myself that actually involved tactical choices by the players rather than simply, you know.
Do you still have it?
X number of trolls plus not Y number of goblins equals Z number of combat factors or whatever, but so
it's funny that in Dragon Magazine, Frank Metzer put an alternate combat system other than War Machine that he said he uses for basic and 1E, and they said, well, because it's even more math heavy, but he says I like using it, but they asked for something simpler for the rule cyclopedia, and it's like, simpler?
God. Yeah. What were you going to say, Liz?
I was going to say, I think most players, or at least most of the ones that I've gamed with, once you get into those higher levels, even if you could have a Dominion, you know, you get that wanderlust, I suppose. And while there may be a whole lot of things that you could do in your own backyard, you know, eventually the player gets tired of doing stuff in the same place, even if there's plenty to do, and they want an adventure where they go outside their usual haunts, you know, and then come back. You know, it gets a little bit stale if you're in the same spot all the time.
True.
Depends on how big that same spot is. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, my dad belonged to a hunting and fishing club that they said they bought some property out over by one of the national forests, and they basically bought half a mountain range.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, you could spend the rest of your life going through this wilderness and finding things
but
to
people
do.
Get, you know, get bored. I mean, hell, Richard the Lionheart basically treated his Kingdom of England and half of France as a great big bank. He showed up long enough to raise more money, get more troops, and then went off to invade somebody.
Yeah. Okay, well, you got a point.
So, I mean, I'm not saying that clearing wilderness is wrong, far from it. I think it could be a very interesting campaign. I just think a lot of players get bored with it kind of quickly.
True. How about you, Vince? You ever do anything like this for domains in your campaign?
Not really, but we tried doing one time. Remember, speaking about the next little topic here, mass combat with Dominions. We used to just do a really simple system because I thought it was too much to actually sit there and do the combat. Basically, what we did was each side rolled percentile. The side that won would then take a d20 and roll, and that's how many units they lost.
Okay.
So that's how we did it.
I used to know a DM, if he run mass combat, he would basically, every time, it's always like, we send our champion out to fight your champion in a big on a big field. And whoever wins the war. It's like, you can't do that every time.
No.
Very, very, yeah, it's good shorthand, and certainly in the best Greek myth tradition, but yeah, that would get a bit old after a while.
Yeah.
Stretch plausibility.
This is true. And this all happens, what, around level 8? 8 or 9?
As far as...
Basically at name levels.
Yeah, name levels. Okay.
Name levels. And then you can also branch out into other... This, I have a trouble with stuff like, oh, I'm 9th level now, I can be a druid. Or I'm 9th level now, I can be a paladin. And it's like, can't you just make it a subclass like they did in AD? I'm thinking this is the basic answer to dual-classed humans. If you have just a race as a class.
This is the advantage to that humans can get as opposed to demi-humans?
Right, because like elves are already dual-classed. Because they're like fighter mages.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like their version. Because if you notice in first edition, if you're going to dual class, you got to go up separately in each class. Right. And this is kind of the way the class thing, I mean races class, or just having classes does it. Because you go up to 8th level, 9th level, boom, you can be something else. It's almost like you're doing the same thing like in first edition. You following me?
Cricket.
Obviously not.
Sorry, what?
Oh, okay, folks out there, you tell me if I'm right or wrong. They go,
oh, Glenn.
Save or die.
Podcast at gmail.com.
gmail.com. Tell me if I'm right or wrong, or I don't need... They don't have to tell me I'm full of it, because they do that anyway, so... Anyway.
But I see where you're going with that, yes.
Okay, yes.
Planar travel.
Planar travel. Never did it.
Me either.
How about you? I just, you know, where are you going to go? I mean, well, I mean, you got other planes, but I mean...
Well, we've done the whole, you know, travel down to the outer world and fight demons and things like that.
Yeah. You're talking about, like, the nine levels of hell and that kind of stuff.
We've done that stuff.
I've never done that.
No?
No. No, planar travel, I just... To me,
Judges Guild put out a module called Inferno, which was based on Dante's Inferno, and I ran that for a basic expert group once.
That was like the first four levels.
First four levels, give or take,
Yeah.
It's three or four.
Anything further, you do it.
And, well, I think he had planned on putting out some subsequent ones, but he never did. I don't know if that's because Judges Guild went out or, you know, there was publication issues, who knows.
I also remember Mayfair, Rolais put out the Demons line.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, even though it was for first edition, it came out around the same time, and it was an excellent story. They had the Demons 1, and then went to a Demons 2 box set, then they had an Angel supplement, and they had the whole Apocalypse box set.
Right.
So they had, and they had a bunch of modules revolving around those things, too, so.
Yeah, do the old War in Heaven bit. With the angels and demons, you know, slugging it out with each other, and you know, sitting back with popcorn watching it.
But I wouldn't recommend Planar Travel unless you're in the high teens.
Yeah, unless you want to do something, you know, like some change of pace thing, and even then, you gotta power up the players somewhat. Like, here's a bunch of magic items.
Go. Well, you just grabbed the Diablo box set that came out for second edition. Play that.
Yeah, you could do that too. So we have Planar Travel and Dominions in there.
Yes.
So that's all it's good for, right? plus it brought the levels up to level 20 for player characters.
25? Cleric class 25.
Oh, okay. 25. I just looked at the companion book today.
Yeah, because Masters does 26 to 36.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Immortals is Immortals.
You know, I think they have the right idea. Most people have the right idea about it now. All you need is BEC to really have a good game. You don't really need the Masters and the rest of it.
I'd say you can have a good game with BE.
Yeah.
I mean, Companion's got some interesting stuff in it, don't get me wrong, but I don't think any of it's vital.
Or if you're going to go for Moldvay Cook, you know, go BE and then get the BX Companion if you want the Companion stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the equivalent right there. But I had the heck of a time just with either the two or the three books.
Well,
I don't think I'd go any further.
Then why do you like the Rules Encyclopedia then? because that all that stuff is in another book that's in Rules Encyclopedia.
Because I have this wonderful ability to ignore stuff.
One thing I did not like in Companion was the allowing demi-humans to still increase in combat power. I thought that kind of defeated the whole purpose of level limits.
Are you talking about that option where they say, okay, they can go up?
Yeah, to, then they get to, like A, B, C, D.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No.
I kind of thought it was kind of interesting and, I don't know, just intriguing, but at the same time I go, well, why don't you just let them keep going up?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do that, then you might as well just let them have the level.
It was like a solution I wasn't asking for.
Yeah,
it was a solution to shut people up and to also make it balanced, but I don't think it was balanced at all. But
yeah, their whole point of it was, okay, they're going to go up in fighting ability, and that's it from now on.
Yeah,
Well, they need something to keep up with the rest of the other characters. So,
true. Well, but that's the trade-off you make for playing the elf or the dwarf or the halfling, is you're only going to go so high, and that's that.
And then they had another option in the back of the ERC where it's saying, okay, these classes can go up to the levels just like humans, but you're going to take away something of theirs, their innate abilities. And it's like, no, that's not the solution either. Uh-uh. No. No. Just make them go up like a normal human.
Mm-hmm. Or just to solve the whole issue, just go play advanced.
Yeah, that solves the whole issue.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, 2E will do it. Got a couple advanced guys. Whatever. Beat basic guys here.
I seem to recall advanced has level limits too, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It does, but that's where that magical power of ignoring stuff comes in handy.
I don't know. If you're going to do that, then you don't need to leave basic expert. You can just ignore.
I don't know
the what level limits here.
I'm using it right now for you.
No. I'm sorry, what did you say?
See? She's got it too.
No, she was talking to you, Glenn.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say it to discriminate. Don't we have fun? Do we?
No.
Don't we have fun on this show?
Never.
Okay.
No, you said you just ignore things, but...
I know. Sometimes you gotta.
You have to sometimes. Just like you ignore the rules of Wikipedia. No, just kidding.
You ignore what you want, I'll ignore what I want.
I know. Sounds like a plan. What more can we say about the companion book?
That's about it.
It's got good stuff in it, but my opinion is you really kind of have to cherry pick it. I don't know that it's a set that you just use in entirely. I think it was just, in a way, it kind of feels like the basic expert on Unearthed Arcana in that it's a bunch of options.
And by the time you get to this book, you know how long you'd have to be playing for to get to this book if you played properly?
Uh-huh.
Years upon years upon years.
And then again, you do get some new monsters and new spells.
Mm-hmm. So.
I particularly like the unarmed combat section, and I think you could incorporate that into a lower level game pretty easily if you wanted to. Striking, wrestling... Yeah.
Or replace AD&D's horrible grappling overbearing system with it.
Yeah.
I've done that already. Yeah.
AD&D and second edition, you know, their wrestling rules are, you know, labyrinthine.
I wouldn't say second edition is labyrinthine, but it's a lot. Well, I wouldn't use it either. Let me put it that way.
Well, compared to the wrestling rules in the companion set, I mean, the ones here are fairly straightforward, and wrestling rules take up a single page, you know, and part of that is just examples. So
now, if I remember, they give fighting in there as this is how much damage a fist does, this is how much damage an improvised club does, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, for striking. Yeah, you know, punching, using strength, you know, to overbear, you know, objects in hand, you know, all kinds of neat stuff.
It's just, all you need is that, because I was saying on the other shows, is why can't you just run, like, a fight without weapons? Here's the damage. Go for it.
I just do D20 versus D20. And depending on the size of the person, that's how you do the modifiers, and that's it.
You know, that's a way to, yeah. You know, like I said, it's just a fight. If you're in a bar fight, you know, roll for initiative. Okay, you punch him, he punch you.
I remember Jason on RFI used to just scream at me every time I brought that up. He's like, "What? The guy's is a halfling, and the other guy's a giant. How do you do the modifiers of the big?" And I'm just like, "You just do -4 for the giant and +4 for the little guy. I mean, what's the big deal?"
You do that with weapons anyway. You know?
Yeah, I just do the same thing with weapons. Oh, that's not right. That's not by the. Who cares?
Yeah. So, folks, if you want to fight out there, go ahead and fight. I mean, you just run it as a fight.
Yeah, you don't need a whole massive unarmed combat system. Just make up your own. Who cares?
Or a table that says, okay, you did this, but I want to do that. No, you do this, because that's what I rolled.
Or best of all, have the player and the DM fight it out, and that's the result.
Yeah! But,
like, right there on the table? Are they going to arm wrestle? What?
No, they just go right out the backyard, you know.
Well, not over the table. They're not barbarians. They'll step outside first. And...
Oh. Yeah, well, if they did it at the table, they might knock over some miniatures or something.
Or Cheetos.
Spill somebody's Mountain Dew. We don't want
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Which is more important than anything else.
It is.
And if you have Nerf weapons, better. Real ones, even better. No. Nerf.
Hey, why not? I made one of the players in my campaign do a roll-up from a chair to prove that he can do it in his character mode. Uh-huh. He kept insisting, I can do it. I can do it, my character do it. I said, fine, prove it to me in real life. He did it. He rolled off the chair and stood up and stabbed like a pretend dagger in the air.
Cool.
So I gave it to him.
I've seen acrobats do that, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Let me put it that way. Shall we move?
Yeah, let's end that and head into the Fiat.
Nope. Sorry.
What?
Nope, you're wrong. Look it up.
I don't have to look it up. It's common knowledge.
Nope. No, no, no!
Yeah. So, DM Fiat.
Yeah, vroom vroom on the car. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, I was waiting for you. Like you and Julia, like, what the heck are you doing?
Riding in a Fiat. There we go. So this is about the wilderness, huh?
Yeah, so basically taking the PCs out of the dungeons and the wilderness and putting in the roles of world conquerors.
So we're in the forest, right?
Yeah. We kind of touched upon this in the other segment. What your thoughts about Dominions and Fainer, our planar travel stories and ideas? Well, like Mike said, at that point you could probably just clear out your area and your dominion. Here's your castle, here's your keep. Let's clear out the land, take over the rest of the area, and see how far we can stretch it out without making ourselves roam.
Yeah, you drank a keg of beer. What are you doing outside the camp? Marking my area. A dozen guys doing that. The wolves won't come in, but you know. I saw that movie. So
the werewolves will.
That's right. So we're taking him into the wilderness, clearing the wilderness, and planar conquering.
I don't know about planar conquering, but
I'm going to go conquer Ravenloft. Watch this.
Yeah. Good luck.
Here's the stake. Good luck, pal.
No, here's your own dominion in Ravenloft. Good luck. Goodbye. Never see you again.
Yes.
That's more like it.
You don't have to clear it out. It's already been done for you.
In fact, here's a new fresh land for you.
Oh, brother.
Evil it up all you want.
Oh, that is cruel. That'd be cruel. But like I said, I never had characters high enough to establish a dominion. If, you know, if I was lucky, one of them wanted to start up a bar or a tavern.
That's fun.
I mean, you call that a dominion, I guess.
Drunken dominion.
Drunken Dominion.
Yeah, that'd be a good game name. Drunken Dominion.
Sounds D&D? Like a.
Yeah.
Sounds like actually sounds like a Babylon 5 thing. I don't know why.
The plane of alcohol.
What is the story about the plane of bread?
Well, that was I forget. I think it was Brian or something like that.
Oh, okay.
They had the plate of bread
on the rise.
Yeah. No, it was a plate of wheat.
Oh yeah, and they were fighting bread monsters, so they went to the plate of wheat and destroyed the plate of wheat.
And thanks to Crispy, we came up with potatoes, the potato god. So there must be a potato dimension or plane.
There's no potato domain.
Could be. The eyes have it, you know.
No.
Everybody knows potato is a layer of the abyss.
That's true.
Because they're fried.
Oh, my goodness.
Mike, you've just been fired. Go home. Oh, wait, you are home. Never mind.
Don't say that. He will.
Don't make me walk the few blocks it is to your house and come beat you up.
I'd like to see you walk that few blocks. Anyway.
Hey, I got a brace of potatoes here.
Hey, I can walk now, pal.
Okay, cool. Oh, without the cane?
Yes, without it now. The knee's actually a lot better now.
Wow.
And our fearsome attack cat will immediately run and hide.
The fearsome attack cat, the orange one?
Yes.
Yeah, he'll run and hide, and, you know, Vince will come to your house. I claim this domain!
Yes, taking over domains, going to Mike's house and throwing him out.
And getting pelted with potatoes.
Yes.
Okay, have we made fun of this segment enough?
Yes! Outlander, I'm sorry.
Blame it on Glenn.
That's all I got to say.
Yes, these notes have been courtesy of Outlander 78 from the OSR Gaming Forums. If you'd like to complain, please contact him there through PM. Or you can write a nasty email to say...
Or if you'd like to send condolences to him because of the way we've totally butchered his show notes.
That's right.
SaveOrDiePodcast@gmail.com, and we'll gladly forward the email to him directly.
And here's Vince's address in case you want to take it up with him personally.
Anyway. Yes, Wild Games Production Studios is in a non-disclosed location in Denton, Texas. Just follow your nose to Glenn's house.
Yeah, just go to a random half-price books in Denton, Texas, around Denton, Texas, and you'll find Vince.
Not true. Random encounters. Let's go into random encounters.
We take what we want and leave the rest. Just like your salad bar.
Nothing up must leave. Presto!
You will come up no more.
What? Huh? What'll come out no more?
Random encounters.
Random encounters this week. We're going to talk about Gargantua. No, not the somebody monster itself, but, you know.
Somebody mentioned making a gargantuan kobold.
Liz.
Well, the idea is certainly very compelling. Except since kobolds are only 3 feet tall to begin with. And
he's six feet tall.
Yeah, it's like he's now man size. Congratulations.
He's a lizard man.
I got the image of these 6 foot tall kobold basketball players.
Isn't that the Gungeon things in Star Wars? Never mind.
Yeah, could be. But they're not puppies.
Oh.
So we'd really have to take the gargantua a step further for the kobold. So instead of just being two times its normal size, you know, make it four times or even six times. And then you could get a really impressive kobold.
Wouldn't that be a gargantuan dire kobold?
It could be.
Ooh. Dire kobolds.
Although, I must say, talking about the gargantua,
mm-hmm.
You know, it says, these monsters are extremely rare, the products of research of the mad wizard Gargantua.
Like, oh, that was
really?
Yeah.
Really? The wizard Gargantua?
Well, he
Who's
knows
going
how
to date their baby. Yeah. Wow, he's big. I'm going to name you Gargantua.
Someday.
No, actually, he's probably like 3 feet tall, which is why he has this size obsession to create huge monsters.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the size of a kobold. Okay. Hey, maybe he really wasn't.
So how would you make a giant troll, Mike, in your game?
I'd double his hit die.
That's it? Just double the hit die?
Yeah.
No strength improvements? No dexterity? Well, yeah. No dexterity minuses?
No, I'd just give him, you know, Maybe double hit, double attack, die, that sort of thing. I've never been big on giant monsters. I just, you know, if I want something big, I'll get a bigger monster. I don't feel the need for a super deformed troll or something to go cheap, attack people.
Right? So no purple worms for you or anything? Or?
Well, yeah, but it's get a purple worm. I don't need a gargantuan purple worm. I just get a purple worm. Get a dragon. Get, you know.
Is that purple worm the giant thing from Beetlejuice that was in the sand, or is that something that Carrion Crawler?
No, so you can get about right.
Certainly
had
some purple worm aspect.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Well, you know, in basic, they do give you like what you should do to make any monster gargantuan, any critter gargantuan, is like height 2 times normal, 8 times normal hit dice, counting each plus is 1 hit die added. Movement rate 2 times, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I know. I was just trying to get a feel of what Mike would do, and I was going to see what you would do, Glenn, if you would follow the book or make your own thing up. Or
giant troll, I'd take a box of instant troll and double it, actually. No, I'd probably follow these and then tweak it to whatever like nefarious deeds I want to do. If I wanted to have shoot fire out of its butt, I could do that.
Can we go with that again?
You started it.
Which for a troll would make him kind of self-immolating.
Put it in the ground, plant it in water, and see what happens.
Hey, watch this!
Let's get the treasure, guys.
Adventure number 46, laugh aloud, laugh out loud.
Yeah, there we go. Actually, they do have a gargantuan troll in here. Now, would a gargantuan giant be kind of an oxymoron?
I think any large monster, like the ones that they give examples of, you know, are made into a gargantua, seems a bit redundant. You know, I think it would be far more impressive if you could make, like, a kobold or something that's normally very, very small into, you know, just something huge and, you know, do more than just 2 times normal height because they start out so tiny.
You know, I know. A giant brownie.
Yeah, exactly. You know, something that ordinarily looks cute and you just want to kick to the curb. You know, towering over you and is going to...
A giant slump.
Yes, yes. Everything's better with slumps.
That's disturbing.
No, that's fluff for peanut butter, I think you were thinking about.
Oh, okay, fine. Have it your way.
Giant mound of killer ice cream. I don't know.
Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But gargantuous is very interesting. I mean, you know, you take the normal lizard or lizard man, blow him up to a giant size, and boom, we're fighting Godzilla.
Yeah, I would definitely do what Mike did, double the hit dice, and I would actually, like, bump up the strength stats. If it was normally, if they listed it at 16, I'd push it up to into the 20s. Things like that. I want to make a big, massive, like, you know, Bane from Batman.
Ooh. Ow.
Yeah. As he pumps more of the gas into, liquid into him, he gets stronger and stronger and more mutated. That'd be cool.
Yeah, amazing how they did that. What else we got here? We're also talking about high-level undead spirits and haunts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's up your alley. It's undead.
Undead.
I now do like how they handle aging, the aging effect for these creatures. Yeah. The effects rather than the convoluted AD&D system for aging.
That's true.
I like this one's just, you know, reduce constitution and that pretty much does it.
Yeah, that's the downside because otherwise, you know, they age me 10 years, big deal.
Well, it's not a big deal when you become like, you're a human and it becomes 40, so...
Yeah.
Well, that's when everybody shoves the elf forward to take care of the critter.
Yeah. Age 10 years, haha, it doesn't matter. That's like nothing.
Yeah. I've always liked playing like old characters who are just starting out.
Yes, I noticed
Like Mike was talking about the world's oldest first level magic
user. Yeah, I was going to say Twiggy, the oldest first level magic user in the world.
Twiggy? Was that the guy from Buck Rogers?
No, it was Tweaky.
Oh, sorry.
Tweaky, never to be sufficiently damned. Although, they did introduce that female Tweaky, which if anyone had told me there would be something more annoying than Tweaky, I wouldn't have believed it. And then they introduced that thing.
I cannot. You go ahead. I mean, Tweaky, I couldn't find completely annoying only because Mel Blanc was doing the voice.
I'm rooting for the aliens.
Okay, now that we all dated ourselves and the people that listen to this show that are younger than us go, Buck Rogers, what the hell?
It's on YouTube.
Was that thing that Lorraine Williams is trying to sell?
Yeah. Yeah. That was her family heirloom thing, yeah.
Yeah. You're the one that was. And shut up, Glenn. Okay.
No, say anything you want, Glenn. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really pay attention to high level. I pay attention to high level on Dead, yes, but of course, because it'll kill my character. But I don't really pay attention to the aging aspect. I could be bothered with that stuff. I don't really care.
Yeah, this. I don't know that.
I tried it. Yeah, I got a long summer car.
You tried it?
I tried doing the aging, like really, you know, like oh, we up a level, then we should maybe up our age every so left, and we tried keeping track, and it was just like meh halfway through it, so.
I'm saying it's much scarier. I find it a little scarier. I mean, yeah, losing a stat, and it took me a while coming back to D&D after playing other games where it's like, what do you mean these stats are fixed? Especially after 3.5. It's like, what? I can't make these better? So, yeah, it gets a little scarier. So, Drop a couple of points of con, a couple of points of dex. Yeah, you know, I'm going to be running off and hide in a corner.
Luckily, I have that wish with that ring of three wishes, and I'll give everything back.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always something in the game that'll change you back. Or
good luck finding that ring of three wishes, though.
Yeah, tell me about it. Was that an artifact?
Yeah. Well, not quite that bad, but yeah.
Yeah. I've never used ghosts and haunts in my game. Have you guys?
Ghosts? Yeah.
I've used ghosts.
Yeah.
Have you?
Never haunts. I like the description of the haunted companion, but I've never actually used it.
What levels characters did you throw it up against?
Oh God, I can't remember now. Maybe 8th or 9th.
Okay, so yeah, they can suck up a little of it.
Well, yeah, for ghosts, you'd have to do at least 8 or 9 by then. Can't do first level characters with ghosts.
See, that's why I don't understand why ghosts are like one of the top dogs as far as like spirits go.
Well, you could make a first level ghost very easily with a little twink tinkering. I remember we talked about that a long time ago, Glenn.
Yeah, I know, but why? I mean, you know, I thought you'd like, you know, that'd be like one of the first tier type spirit you'd run into.
Except that's kind of where specters and wraiths ended up.
Well, that's what I thought specters and wraiths would be on the top. Mm-hmm. It reversed. I wasn't expecting it, that's all. I thought it would be the other way around.
Huh, well, excuse me.
What's okay, you know. Rocks fall, you die. All right, fine.
No, it's a crate of eggs.
No, it's a piano.
What are we talking about?
Only for zombie kill of the week.
Oh, yes, okay.
I think that should be incorporated in those kind of games. Zombie kill of the week.
Mike's just itching to do like a zombie podcast. I don't know. Or a Walking Dead podcast.
Yeah, I'm kind of on a zombie kick.
Are you? I didn't know you liked them.
No, he and I just chat about The Walking Dead all the time. We stay up to watch that show. And
okay.
I have a zombie gaming blog. Yeah. That's...
Well, if you guys know how... Use giant critters or spirits and haunts. Give us a shout out at saverdiepodcast@gmail.com.
Or if you don't remember, you can always go to Thacko. No, never mind.
Yeah, and
what's our voicemail number, Vince?
Yeah, mumble the voicemail for us. 405 blah 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 flump flump. Yeah.
That's Liz's number.
Flub flub.
I thought
you're not supposed to give that out over the show.
Sorry. Thorky's dialing right now.
Flub flub kobold.
Yeah. 570-290-7283 is the Save or Die hotline.
There we go.
Which is probably dusty right now, so.
Yes.
The operator is now dead. Well, he's a haunt now.
It's more of a simmering line now.
Hmm.
And we still have to pay him. That's what I don't get.
And he still collects a paycheck, yeah.
Because he's a haunt.
On that note, we will go to the next segment.
You're not going to get any argument from me.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
Where are the Cheetos?
They're right next to you.
Well, all you do is we play the characters we talked about earlier when we run around and stuff.
I want to show you a trick Mother showed me when you weren't around.
Use your lightning bolt. Victory is yours.
I'm attacking the darkness.
Dungeons and Dragons games. Products of your imagination.
You're not there. You're getting drunk.
Products of your imagination.
Okay.
Well, along the theme lines of everything that's been going on in the show, we're going to be reviewing a module called, let me pull it back up here, CM1.
Test of the Warlords.
Test of the Warlords by Douglas Niles for levels 15 and above, which goes perfectly with the companion.
Yes, and apparently it's the first in a series like that.
I love the picture on the front, first of all.
It's a cool picture.
I love that shield that the knight is holding.
It reminds me so much of the cover of the first Brown book.
Oh, yeah, true. The guy on the horse, yeah.
Yeah, which somebody cribbed from Marvel Comics. but... Now, somebody had a website where he compared, like, the pictures from the original Brown books to, like, Marvel Comics panels that were posed in almost the same way.
Ah.
As opposed to what? Rob Liefeld?
Oh, please. That's like, Liefeld was like a glimmer in his dad's eye when these came out.
Okay, Glenn.
Anyway.
So this module, pretty much, is you basically get to have your own dominion. You get to either have pre-rolled characters or your own character if you don't have one high enough level. They have 6 pre-roll characters, all of which are lawful, which I find kind of odd. Why are they all lawful?
And that's one of the things that's always bothered me about the basic expert system in either the Cook Moldvay or the Mincer with, you know, chaotic, lawful, neutral. You've got, for instance, one of the pre-rolled characters is a lawful 15th level thief.
Yeah.
It's like, as a thief, you are neither going to be lawful, as in following the law. Well, there probably are instances where you could, but for the most part, you're not going to be. And as far as being a really, really good person, they talk about in the description, you know, he's always arriving in a new area, and then he has to leave a month later just ahead of a pack of city guards and irate merchants. It's like,
so,
how good is that? You know.
Well, did they say how good he was? The reason I'm asking is because, remember, this is a 3-point alignment system. Lawful could mean lawful evil, too.
No, lawful's pretty much just lawful good.
As far as the game goes, I've always understood it to mean lawful means you're a good character, chaotic means you're an evil one.
Yeah, according to the 3-point alignment system, yeah. Neutral would be the one in between when you fluctuate between the lawful and the chaotic.
I refer you to my last blog post on this very same subject. anyway, this is a very good... I just finished reading this about an hour before we started, and it covers a lot of ground.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not talking just about it, like, you know, get your domain, fighting for your domain, clear your domain, going on adventures that take you away from your domain, and then it all wraps up with a war between two of the countries where your domain is.
And of course, the list of the non-player characters, if you look at those, neutral, chaotic.
True. Something for you to fight against, I guess. Presuming you're all lawful. In fact, in the War of the Crown section, where the two countries are going to, you know, knocking heads, they have an option of if you want to back the other side instead.
Oh, yeah. I found the wedding... The royal wedding, the bring dominions together section was kind of interesting. How they throw that whole wedding together.
I like the three crones. They're interesting.
Give us back the eye!
Yes.
Not that close.
Yeah. One's lawful, one's neutral, one's chaotic, and they're kind of like forces of nature. To get any information out of them, you got to fight them. I thought it was kind of funny. They'll send minions to take away a magic item and random from each character, and then when you get there, you got to fight them. without the magic items. Okay, whatever.
So it gives you three different... is it three or four?
What a very lawful thing to do.
Yeah. Different scenarios you can use to use your dominions to have a fight or do a political role play or like...
Yeah. Plus they got stuff like, you know, they got frost giants up north that decide to come down and attack.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. That's so good.
Random stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a whole overview thing. It's almost a sandbox. Once you get the Dominion, yeah. It kind of turns into a sandbox.
And then it has ideas for continuing for long campaigns beyond. Just continuing on and on and on and on and on if you want to keep going with the whole Dominion things.
Right. From what I gather... Even though
they call this an adventure, it's really a supplement.
Yeah, from what I gather, it starts with you getting the Dominion, going to this tournament where you get the Dominion. You get the Dominion, then it's like you have 1 year to clear it, establish it, so you can start paying taxes to the king. And so all the random things take place in that 1 year.
Yeah. See, it's not really an adventure. It's more of a what if, and here's your scenarios, what happens, and DM controllers. Yeah.
It's a limited time sandbox, basically.
Mm-hmm. It's a Dominion 101.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it did a pretty good job, actually.
Yeah.
It gave you a lot of elbow room to do it the way you want.
There's a lot of leeway in here between the battles, and if you want to go do this or you don't want to go do that, if you want to help this Dominion or not help this Dominion, establish alliances.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the characters mainly align themselves with Aphaia, the guy who gave them the Dominion. Yeah. And it's Aphaia and Thetis, which kind of prefigures the Gazetteers. In fact, the Gazetteer box set was all about those two countries and how they knock heads all the time. So this is like a precursor to that.
I found it interesting that in there they just referred to the place as the D&D world.
Yes. This is before they came up with Mystara.
The name Mystara, yeah.
Well, yeah, the gnome world, yeah, Mystara.
Yeah, the D&D world.
But you can line your maps up to where the Isle of Dread map is.
Yes.
And it's just right over there.
Yeah, and you can even line it up with the companion set map, and it'll work. Except if you want more area, use the Isle of Dread map.
Hold on.
So you could put it with the Isle of Dread map, and it'll give you a bigger area. Or you can use the companion map. Either way, it matches up. Hmm. Right, Liz?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I actually have the Isle of Dread, so... That
me
would
too.
Be very convenient for me.
I only have the PDF of this one, so I take the Isle of Dread map and stick it up in front of my monitor and see if it works.
I think you could do that. You should try that.
Does it work with both the Isle of Dreads? You own like the different color ones and everything? I know it's pretty much the same almost, but...
I think it's the same map.
Is it the same map? Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. So, have you got... Anybody use this? Anybody get any use out of this one?
Me? No, I wouldn't... Would have never even thought about running a module like this at all.
Oh, yeah, I know. You don't run modules. All right, fine. Mike and Liz.
This is a perfect example of you've got to have players who want to form dominions. If they don't, then this whole thing is... It's not going to work.
It's a poop shoot.
You can't shoehorn your players into doing dominions if they don't want to. And... If you are, then it could work out really well. I just, you know.
Well, I will say, to bring up our 2E game that we play in, we're doing a lot of what's in this particular module. You know, not exactly, but the same general stuff in our 2E game with our high-level characters. And so a lot of the things that are brought up in this module, you know, we're going through ourselves in our game. So, yeah, there's a lot of good ideas here.
Isn't Chase using Mystara in 2E, though?
Yes, no. He is. Well, he's using...
No, he's not. He's using Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, Forgotten Realms
okay,
in 2E.
But I saw Gazetteers around there, so I figured maybe he's cribbing from those or something.
And he may very well be.
He may be. I don't know crap about Forgotten Realms, so if he's pulling stuff that isn't consistent, I'm like, I don't know.
Okay, well, he's a really good DM.
Well, since his girlfriend you know, she may know a lot about Forgotten Realms, so he might be throwing, you know, kind of making a gestalt of Mystara and Forgotten Realms to try and throw some stuff in that she wouldn't necessarily be familiar with. I don't know.
So you guys do have a little bit, kind of a passing familiarity with this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Should we rate it?
Yes.
Should we?
Glenn, what's your...
What it is, I'm going to give it 4. I agree with Liz saying, Mike and Liz saying, you know, if your characters don't want to do this, fine, go do something else. You know, retire, do whatever. But if they're into, like, the Dominion stuff and all that kind of stuff, yeah, I'd do this. I think it would make a great kind of a final campaign, last hurrah for those characters. Clear out your area, help the king with the war, all that kind of stuff.
I'm thinking, for me, I'm going to give it a 4 because... only simple fact of your DM doesn't show up or a player doesn't show up, the DM could just pull this out and say, all right, guys, we're going to just do this tonight as a different change. Why not?
Okay. Sure, why not?
Be something different, and on a rainy day, if you're missing characters and you really need them in the party and you have to play and you got that fix, DM already read this module, boom, here's your characters, let's play.
Can you do it in one session, though?
Even if you don't complete it, it doesn't matter. At least it's something to do.
True.
Like, yeah, we're missing those encounters in there.
Oh, like you go to your group and it's just like, oh, unfortunately, you know, Tom and Sally aren't going to be here tonight. There's only 3 of us, so let's play this. Here's some characters. We're going to pretend you have dominions and blah blah.
One more thing I like about this thing is the random encounter. The encounters, the adventures they come up with are just enough detail where you can take these out and use it with some other characters, maybe lower level, and flesh it out the way you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do the Frost Giants thing. Definitely you can pull that out. And
which one?
The Frost Giants one.
Yeah, Frost Giants one. I think there's a dungeon there you can pull out.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I'm sorry. Mike, how would you rate this?
3.
3?
3.
Because
it's good stuff, but it's very selective.
Yes.
You have to really want to do it.
You've really got to have people who just want to build dominions. If you've got that, great. But it doesn't have a lot of much utility beyond that, other than, like you said, a few events.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Liz?
I will give it a 3.5.
Okay.
And?
Well, I agree with a lot of what Mike had to say. You know, you do have limited use out of it. But for what it is in that use, you know, it's very well written and it's got some good hooks for the higher level characters who are interested in settling down. And, you know, like I said earlier, it's called an adventure. This is really a supplement. You can get a lot of bang out of this particular, you know, publication once you start using it. It's not going to be a one adventure or even a two adventure, you know, thing, and then you're done with it. You can go for several weeks just using this.
And it makes a nice introduction to, if you're into the Gazetteers of the box set Dawn of the Emperors, because this is pretty much the groundwork for that box set.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dawn of the Emperors is the only box set they put out for the Gazetteers, and it involves those two countries.
I have not seen that.
So overall, it's a 3.625.
Yeah. Good enough. Liz, if there were flumps and kobolds in there, Liz would give it a little higher rating.
It would have had a 4 at that point, but there were no kobolds and flumps, so...
Okay. Yeah. Kobolds riding flumps.
Oh, then it would have had a 5.
Okay.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, that's going to put a wrap to the show with a thank Outlander78 for the OSR Gaming Forums for having the time and the willpower to write a show up for us to continue on. If you'd like to write show notes for us, you can... What, Glenn?
I was going to say thank you, Outlander. We salute you.
Yes. You go right to the forums and to OSRGaming.com/forums and Save or Die Podcast subforum, and then there is a whole guideline how to write show notes.
You too could write a show for us.
Yes, and we'll screw it up just as bad as this one.
Yes.
Yeah, or you could just, we can do is, you know, you can give us a call, 570-290-7283, or email us, show notes, say, hey, I'd like you guys to talk about this or that. We would definitely like to do that.
Yep, give us a sprite.
So, I'm going to put a wrap on the show, because I know Mike and Liz have to get to their second edition game.
Where we're running a Dominion.
Yes.
Yeah, and I gotta go clean house. So.
Yes, so right. Can you make the save, something, 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 save or die?
And we're going down the highway, right? All that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, we're going down the highway on a flump Bing Cobalt being chased. I don't know.
Being chased are kobolds on flumps.
Gargantuan kobolds on
flumps. Oh, gargantuan flumps. How about that?
And I'm leading the Frost Giants down the hill towards Glen.
Cool. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Free Arc.